We're going to get the word this morning. We're going to jump into Isaiah today, 43. If you've got your Bible with you here this morning, or your phone, or whatever you're using nowadays, Isaiah 43, 19. If you want to stand for the reading of the word this morning, let's do that here this morning. Isaiah 43, verse 19. If you were there, say, God will make a way. Amen. And it says, behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I will give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I form for myself, that they might declare my praise. We're going to stop there here this morning on that verse. I'm going to open up in prayer this morning. Father, we just thank you today for your presence. Ultimately, for your spirit today, Lord God, I thank you for that we're going to be forever changed today, just being in your presence, being in this house, being in this place with one another. So I thank you for your word this morning, Jesus. I thank you for faith rising today and hope rising today and peace rising today. And Lord, you begin to open our eyes and illuminate the word this morning to our hearts this morning, Jesus. So we just thank you today for your word, and I thank you today for your people. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Well, a few weeks ago, I preached the message. I started off asking a question, and the question is, what do you do when you don't know what to do? Anybody remember that? Oh, man, that's not good if you're not remembering what we're preaching here. That's only one amen. Preached that a few weeks ago. Start off asking a question, but today I'm going to start off by asking a question again. I'm going to ask this question today. What do we do when things look impossible? What do we do when things look impossible, when we're looking at a situation, something in our life that is impossible, what do we do? Have you ever been in a place where you've just been tempted to say, it's never going to get better? It's never going to get any better. The marriage isn't going to get any better. Family's not going to get any better. Kids aren't going to get any better. The finances aren't going to get any better. Or maybe something with your body, something physically going on with your body is never going to get any better. Have you ever been there before or caught yourself saying that's just never going to get any better? So what do we do when things look impossible? And I want to speak directly to the people today that you're dealing with something impossible this morning. And it might not be you today. Maybe you're not looking at something that's impossible in your life, but I guarantee there's going to come a point in time and place in your life that you're going to be staring at something that's impossible. So take notes today. If not, I'll just preach to myself. I'll preach myself happy today. Because I need it. But I believe when we're staring at something that's impossible, God will make a way for us. He specializes in the impossible. That's what he does. And there's many names in the Bible that describe God, and we call God. There's so many great names about God and describe who he is. And he has so many different names, powerful names. We don't use them all. There's names for God like Elohim, Yahweh, Jehovah. Many different names for God. And we even get more descriptive in the Bible. We use compound words like Jehovah Jireh. Not only is he God, but he's the God who provides. Jehovah Rapha, not only is he God, but he's the God that heals. Yeah. Jehovah Nissi, he's the Lord our banner, or how Pastor Dan says it sometimes, Jehovah Sneaky, because he's sneaky like that. But there's many different names for God. And I think one of my favorite names for God is Father. It's one of my most favorite names that describe him and who he is and his character and his nature is Father. There's something intimate there about that. When I call him Father, that reminds me of my sonship and that I'm in the family of God, that I'm his son. When I call him Father, that's my favorite name to call him, is Father. That's who he is. There's many different names that describe God. And in the Old Testament, there's a name that describes God as a way maker. How many believe that God is a God that makes ways today? He's a God that makes ways. And the evidence of that, when we go back to the book of Exodus, when we look at that, we see the Israelites. They're in bondage in Egypt. They're stuck. They are slaves. And God raises up Moses as a deliverer to set his people free, to be his mouthpiece. So he sends them to Egypt, to go to Pharaoh, to set his people free. But I first want to say this, that if you don't know this about the heart of God, that God wants you free in every single area of your life. He wants you to have complete and total freedom in every single area. And God will fight and he will wage war against those things that have you bound, that you were in bondage in, because he died for you to be set free. So don't settle for anything that's completely and totally free in every area of your life, because God wants you to be free in Jesus' name. So God raises up Moses and he sends him as a deliverer to set his people free. He goes to Egypt. We know the story, most of us do. And he says, let my people go. And we see that Pharaoh is hard-hearted and he's hard-headed. It takes multiple plagues and multiple convincing moments for him to finally say, okay, all right, I'll let the Israelites go. But just right after that, he changes his mind. I'm sure the Israelites were like, come on, man, really? Have you ever had that happen? Somebody change their mind on you? He changes his mind, and then they begin to pursue the Israelites. So here they are, they're traveling far away from Egypt, and they come up to the Red Sea. They get into a place in an area that is really impossible. And the predicament is, as they come to this place, they can't cross over, and they look behind them, and they see all the Egyptian armies coming after them, their enemy, to destroy them. That's where they find themselves. And I don't know about you, but there's been a few times in the past few months, just like they were stuck, I felt stuck at times. Can anybody else relate? Am I the only one here this morning that there has been times where you feel like you're just stuck? Like it's impossible almost. And I could relate and identify where they're at in this position where it seems like there's just no way out. It's impossible. And that's the predicament that they find themselves in, that they can't cross over and the enemy is coming after them. But God, just like always does, he comes to the rescue. God always comes to the rescue. And God speaks to Moses in that moment. He gives them a word. And I'm going to read that out of Exodus here. It's Exodus 14. 13. He says this, said Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you and you only have to be silent. He says the Egyptians that you see today, you're never going to have to deal with them again. I mean, that's a great promise. I mean, I don't know if there's anybody here today that you've got some things in your life you're just ready to be done with, over with, problems be done right now. I mean, I believe God can set us free of problems right now, immediately at this moment. Addictions broken, deliver us immediately. God can do things right now. He said, you're not never going to have to deal with your enemy again. They're never going to be a problem. I'm going to wipe them out. God is able. God can do things like that. Just in a moment, with one word, one action, change everything. And that's what he did. And he said, the Lord will fight for you. All you got to do is be silent. Be silent. The Lord will fight for you. So in other words, what you got to do is you got to shh. You got to be silent. The Lord is going to take care of this. He's going to fight, but you got to shh. Because the issue was they started complaining, right? They got there and they're like, Moses, what is this whole deal about? Why did you bring us here? Did you bring us out here to die? We were better off in Egypt. We were better off as slaves there. Did you just bring us here for the Egyptians to kill us? They just started complaining. And that's what we have a tendency to do. When things get difficult, we start complaining. Do we not? We just start, God, what? I thought you brought me here. God, this is terrible. It's better off back there, God. And we lose our joy, we lose our peace, we start becoming ungrateful, and we start focusing on that, and we start to complain and whine and lose our faith in this situation. Do we not do that once in a while? I catch myself doing that once in a while, and I'm like, I mean, I got to change my attitude here. I've even caught myself the past few months saying, you know what, it was so much better in February. I mean, didn't have to wear a mask. Didn't have to social distance, didn't have to worry about going in a store and you accidentally cough or you sneeze and you're like, I'm sorry, that's not COVID. I just have a little tickle in my throat. I mean, it's so much better back in February. Caught myself doing that once in a while. We have a tendency to complain. And he says, the Lord will fight your battle, but you've got to be silent. And I don't have a problem with that, because when God is working. When I God is working all things together for my good. When the Lord is fighting my battles. God is working all things together, even when I can't see it, especially when I cannot see it or perceive it. I don't understand, can't figure it out. God is working all things together. And he says, Jonathan, in those moments, I'm speaking to your heart. I know there's a lot of things going on in your world right now, but you just got to shh and just trust in me. Know that I'm working. Know that I'm moving. Know that I'm working all this together for your good in your life. You know, the people, they finally, they were quiet. And Moses lifted the rod. And the sea went, whoop, there it is. Went through dry ground. The enemy tried to pass over, and God's like, I'm closing that thing up. And he closed it up on their enemy. God will make a way. He'll make a way for us. He's working things out. Not only do we see it in the Old Testament, we see it in the New Testament. God working in our lives. And I want to say this morning. In fact, when you know the way maker, you're going to start making ways. Come on. You're going to start making ways because I know who he is. I'm going to start doing things I might not otherwise do. Because I know his character and I know his nature. I'm going to start making ways to maybe future generations, my kids, my grandkids, the people around me. I'm going to start making ways to them. We see this in Mark chapter 2. We see the setting where Jesus is in this house, and it's full of all these people. They're packed like sardines. There's no social distancing going on there. They're like spilling out the windows and spilling out the door. It is packed full in this house where Jesus is teaching and preaching. And there's four guys that have a paralytic friend, and they walk by, and everybody else has walked by, but they're like, man, we need to get you to Jesus because he is going to heal you. He is a way maker. I mean, nobody's been able to help you. It's been really bad for you, but we got faith on the inside. Something that's saying, if we get you to Jesus, he's going to heal you. He's going to make a way for you. Yeah. So if you read the story, that's what they do. They go to the house where Jesus is, but that place is packed full. They can't get in. They're like, you know, we haven't come this far to go back home. We're not going to quit here. We're going to make a way right now. So what they started to do is they started to get up on the roof and tear that roof apart. I don't know if anybody here this morning has some roof dismantling faith that says the faith that kind of says, just get out of my way. I'm going to rip this thing apart if I've got to. That's some serious faith right there. Yeah. They begin to go up on the roof, tear the thing apart. I'm sure there was somebody like, you know, don't take him up there. He's going to fall. There's always that one person that says something like that. But they begin to get up on the roof and they begin to rip it apart. And can you imagine all the commotion that they were causing? I mean, you know, they're ripping apart the roof and Jesus is teaching and preaching and dirt begins to fall down and pieces of the roof begin to fall down upon Jesus in the floor. And they get it open wide enough, big enough. They lower the man down in there. And it's a good thing they did because Jesus healed him. Jesus touched him. Jesus made a way. But they made a way for that paralytic man to get to Jesus. I'm like that paralytic man that people have not left me where I'm at in my brokenness or in my sin. They've led me to Jesus. They're like, I don't know the answer, but Jesus knows the answer. We're going to get you to him. Or maybe somebody in your life says, we're not going to leave you in your addiction. We're not going to leave you in your brokenness. We're not going to leave you in your mess. I don't have the answer, but Jesus does. And I'm going to lead you to him. I'm going to make a way for you to see him. Amen. We become way makers and for the people around us, for future generations, making a way. Because we know who he is, that he's a God that makes ways. And I think one of the most convincing proof that God is a way maker is that when we were stuck in our sin, separated from God, when it was impossible for us to come to him, that Jesus made a way for you and me when we could not. Jesus came to earth from heaven. He went on the cross. He took our sin, died the death we were supposed to die so that we could have life and be reconciled back to him. We couldn't do it. We were stuck. But Jesus said, you know what? I'm coming to make a way for you. Jesus said, I'm making a way for you to have life. He made a way for us to be forgiven, to be redeemed, to be restored, to be made whole, to be made the righteousness of God, to become sons and daughters, to enter into his kingdom. He made a way for you and me. And that's not something that we could do ourselves. I'm thankful Jesus made a way today. How about you? That's why in John 14, 6, it says, Jesus says, I am the way. I'm the way. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except through me. I'm the way. He made a way. And there's this recurring thing that I see all throughout Scripture, is that we as people, the human race, we tend to mess things up. It's like Genesis, that's a big whoopsie. I mean, we messed that one up pretty bad, the human race. In Exodus, we mess it up again, and you get to Isaiah, here we are, can't make it past that. We're in Babylonian captivity, the people of God are. But every time, you always see God make it better. He always comes to the rescue. That's the one thing about God. Every single time, God always comes to the rescue. Every single time. And God, the scripture we read this morning in Isaiah, he speaks through his prophet Isaiah to the people, the Israelites, and they're in Babylonian captivity. They're hundreds of miles away from home. And he speaks to them and gives them this word. He says, behold, I'm doing something new. Now it springs forth. Can you perceive it? I'll make a way in the wilderness. Put rivers in the desert. He says, I'm doing something new. I don't know about you, but in this season, I need something new. I believe God can do something new and fresh in our lives. But I'm also thankful for the word that he attaches to it. He says, now. Now it springs forth. The one thing that I know about God, that God is a God of now. God can do something right now. I'm thankful for what God has done, but I don't have to live in what God has done. I can live in what he's doing right now. I praise Jesus for what he's done. I'm thankful for what he has done. He's done so much for me, but I can live and believe God to do something right now. He is the God of right now. And I believe God is working right now. I believe God is moving. I believe God is speaking. He's working in your family. He's moving in your family. He's speaking to your family. Whether you see it or understand it or not, I believe he is. I believe that he's moving in America. I believe he's working in America today. I believe he's speaking things today, whether we get it, understand it or not. God is moving. I know it might look different. I know the church might look different, but God is working. He's moving right now. He's the God of now. And in that scripture before verse 19, it says, don't remember the former things nor consider the things of old. Because if you get so preoccupied with what happened in February, you'll miss what God's doing in October right now. You'll miss what he's doing right now. I think we need to look back and remind ourselves what God has done and see how far he's brought us. Is there anybody here that God has brought you a long way today? I mean, amen. I was a mess, and God has brought me so far by his grace. When I look back at that, I'm like, man, God, you brought me so far, and it's because of your grace. And it reminds me, and it's a time to give thanks to him for how much he's brought me through. But if I'm so preoccupied with then, I'll miss what God's doing right now. There is a time to look back, but God is doing something right now. He's the God of now. Now it springs forth. And he says, I'll make a way in the wilderness. I'll make a way in the wilderness. They're hundreds of miles away from home. What separates them from home is the wilderness. Looks impossible. You can't make it. How are you going to do it? There's no provision, no water, nothing to sustain you. You can't go. You can't do this. Sounds exactly like how the enemy talks to us today. You're always going to be stuck. You're always going to be broke. The marriage is always going to stink. You're always going to be depressed. You're always going to be anxious. You're always going to be stressed out. You're always going to be broke, busted, and disgusted. Is that how he talks to us sometimes? That's exactly how it sounds like. But God says this, child of God, I'm going to make a way for you. I will make a way. It may look like you're stuck, but I'm making a way for you. If I've got to put a road in the desert, in the wilderness, I'm going to do it for you. I will make a way. I will wipe everything out if I have to. If I've got to move mountains, I'm going to move them for you. If I've got to send my army of angels on your behalf, I'm going to do it for you. I will make a way because I love you. I'm for you. I'm your father. I will rescue you. I will lift you up out of the pit that you are in. I will give you a road to walk on. I will guide you and direct you. I will make a way. make a way. Not only will he make a way, but he'll provide for us. He'll provide. When I open up that road for you to walk down, when you get thirsty, I'm going to put rivers in that desert. Springs are to come up forth from that. When you're thirsty, I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to make sure you are successful. I'm making a way for you. It may look impossible, but God says, I'm making a way for you, a road to walk on. You know, it was a play in football that they don't really run that much. It's called a Hail Mary. Anybody ever heard of it? It's a play you don't run too often, and it's actually a play you only run in unique situations. And there are moments when you run the Hail Mary. The time when you run that is when you have the ball, you're down and score, and you need a touchdown to win, and the clock is ticking down to almost nothing. You've got time for one last play. That's the moment when you call for a Hail Mary. And what happens when you call that is the football snaps, or the quarterback snaps the football, and he begins to scramble. And he's not scrambling for nothing, but he's scrambling to let his receivers to get downfield. To get downfield and get in the end zone. And when he has that football, when they get down there, he's going to throw it as hard as he can in the end zone, and hopefully one of his receivers are going to catch it. I mean, it's almost impossible. It's most likely it's not going to happen. The odds are really slim. And the first time this happened was in 1975 by the Dallas Cowboys. I'm sure there's probably not any Cowboys fans in here. I didn't think so. Oh, there's one. I forgot about Ronnie Cox back there. The quarterback who threw the Hail Mary, his name was Roger Staubach. 1975, first time it was successfully run. And he said when he ran that play, he said a Hail Mary. He prayed. He was actually a devout Catholic. He prayed and said a Hail Mary, and the play actually worked. But I just want to say today, the play we need to run is not a Hail Mary. It's a Hail Jesus. That's the one we need to run today. It's not a Hail Mary, but it is a Hail Jesus when things look impossible. I'm thankful for Mary. I honor Mary, what she's done. But the Bible says there's only one mediator between God and man, and that's the man, Jesus Christ. It may look like you need a Hail Mary, but you really need a Hail Jesus. And I think we can give a Hail Jesus today. There's one last play when things look impossible. There's one last play, and I believe God will make a way for you and me. Amen. Believe that today. Amen. He'll make a way. And I just want to pray for us this morning. If you say you need a way today, or maybe you need a breakthrough, I just want you to stand this morning. And we're going to sing this song in closing here today. If you need a way or a breakthrough, you're facing something impossible, a situation today, it's time to give it to God. It's time to go to God, to give it to Jesus, because he is a way maker, and I believe God will make a way for me, and he'll make a way for you. And in that scripture in Isaiah, it says, behold, I'm doing something new. Now it springs forth. Can you perceive it? I'll make a way in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. But at the end of it, it says, and when they do, they'll declare my praise. They'll declare my praise. And you say, well, I don't see a way yet. Can I encourage you to praise him anyways? Praise him by faith. If you don't see a way yet, just praise him by faith. Can I encourage you, if you don't see it, praise him right now like it's already done. That's what we do. We praise him by faith. They shall declare my praise. It's time to praise him. It's time to thank him, because God will make a way when it looks impossible in our lives. And he'll do it today for you. Begin to praise him for making a way. It may look like it's not going to get any better, but God says, I'm going to make a way for you. I'm going to work it all together for good for you. Because that's who I am. I'm your father who loves you. I'm a way maker, promise keeper, miracle worker, light in the darkness. As we begin to praise him right now and worship him right now, I just want you to just begin to thank him for making a way this morning. You can come up if you want to or worship in your seat as we sing this song right now. But just begin to meditate on God and thank Him for making a way today.